Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome back, everyone, to Vox Markets. My name is Paul Hill. I'm delighted again to be able to speak to Chris Day, CFO of Lords Group Trading, a specialist UK building merchant and plumbing and heating products distributor. So welcome, Chris.
Morning, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, big congrats on today's positive first half results and in-line guidance for the rest of the year. But before we sort of dig into the details, I don't suppose you could give us a quick bird's-eye view of the sort of the health of the UK building products sector, perhaps split between sort of your sweet spots of trade and RMI and compare that to sort of the DIY and the sort of the consumer sectors and new build.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I guess if you kind of really pull it down, first of all, to our customers, our experience is that they remain active and busy. So that's a positive for us. DIY, I think you've seen in some of the recent results, the DIY demand maybe has softened off the back of COVID normalization, but that really isn't a huge part of our market. So really kind of very little impact from that coming off its peak. New build, we do have some exposure into new build, and demand remains positive, but sites continue to be opened and transactions continue to go through. Look, we are watchful of that interest rate movement, but at the minute it's had limited impact from our perspective. I guess the core part of our market is RMI, and I think it's important that you break those three things down because it's a very broad categorization from our perspective. There's repairs, maintenance, and improvement, and I think they all have different dynamics. So repairs is a key element in our P&H division, and customer demand remains really strong. So, you know, I always say it's difficult in almost any circumstance to see how a household will sacrifice heating and hot water. I think they will always go to the repair. They will always maintain that side of their house. I think maintenance. I think you can see through some of the sector results. Maintenance is probably the more optional angle. And I think retail DIY are just, you know, focusing on other areas and definitely not decorating their spare bedrooms in the manner in which they were for the last couple of years. Improvement, though, is an area that we are positive on. So it's a good part of our business, and we see, I guess, if you kind of step back, we see the end customer in improvement as homeowners with middle to high income salaries benefiting from a buffer of savings, and those segment appear to be carrying on. They're not impacted by the cost of living crisis, and whether it's through maintenance of existing houses or that huge pipeline of transactions we've had over the last 24 months, you know, that all unwinds into improvement demand, we believe, and that's certainly what we're seeing for our customers and our results.
So you've got relatively pretty good visibility for the rest of the year then from sort of the trade, your sort of trade buyers, etc.
It's anecdotal, Paul, insofar as, you know, they're all saying they're busy through to the end of the year. We don't have a huge forward-looking order book in the way maybe a manufacturer would. But yeah, they remain positive.
Mm. Well, should we move on now to the sort of the highlights from the first half results? Because frankly, you've been sort of, despite sort of like supply chain challenges in the boiler sector, you've posted some pretty strong results. In fact, your heating and plumbing division, where the boilers are in, actually produced a higher margin and higher EBITDA than the prior year. So what will happen when the supply chain challenges ease fully?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's a really good set of half-year results, and we're delighted. And I think, you know, as always, it's credit to our empowered divisional management teams and all the colleagues that ultimately make it happen. But $214 million of revenue, 19.7% growth year-on-year. Merchanting is driving the like-for-like side at 14.5%. And what's really pleasing there is that's coming from geography, from product range, and from digital. So all of those levers that we talk about in our strategy. As you say, EBITDA, 14.2 million at 27.1% year on year. And that margin kind of really pushing on now to 6.6%. So FY21, it was 6.1. H1 22, 6.6. So you remember at the full year results, we said we want to get 7.5% EBITDA margin. I think these results kind of underpin that belief. We at IPO, we committed to a progressive dividend policy, and there's a step forward in the dividend payout, interim dividend of 0.67 pence. And I guess another important facet is we made four acquisitions in the half year, and they've all integrated really positively and are trading in line with expectations. I think they've pushed us on from a geography extension, product range, and customer cross sell. We're seeing lots of opportunity. You know, we've spoke previously. If you take one of them, advanced roofing, for the first time, we can credibly offer the roof, the tiles to the general builder, and we've got thousands of them. So, you know, really making a great difference. And then we think we're on track. You know, full year expectation for FY22 is $435 million of revenue, $26 million of adjusted EBITDA, and we are confident in delivering that.
Good. And then just on that sort of the margin improvement, obviously you've picked up by sort of like 0.5% year on year. How's that been driven? Is it sort of like economies of scale and in internal efficiencies and pricing, or a combination of it? Or can you just give us a bit of colour on that, and then the sort of like the trajectory to get to 7.5?
Yes, it's a combination of all of those factors. We have a pricing opportunity, particularly within our plumbing and heating division. Again, go back to the full year results, and we spoke about the facts. It was the end of a 2-year transformation for that business when we bought it. It was really narrow product range, really low visibility of data and MI and decision making, and we've been able to really kind of strengthen that management team, embed better systems and processes. And now we're starting to see the benefit. You know, like, we're kind of big believers in clarity and data and decision making, and we've been able to bring that to the plumbing and heating division, and it can now make profitable decisions.
Good.
And there's more to go.
Yeah, okay. Good. And then just in terms of the sort of the the on track of the inline guidance for the rest of the year. I mean, you sort of quoted a couple of figures. There was the $435 million. Pounds for turnover and about 26 million, I think, for EBITDA. But given you've done 14.2 for first half on EBITDA, that only leaves it, well, but just south of 12 to go. And obviously, you've got easing of supply chains. I mean, you must be feeling relatively, given your the demand is still underlying demand for the product seems to be reasonably strong. You must be reasonably confident then in terms of the second half, in terms of achieving those full year results, particularly when you've got those acquisitions giving you your full 6 months on top.
Yeah, I think you're right. Reasonably confident that there is the dynamic of December where the industry, you know, effectively kind of winds down towards the middle of December. We're confident in delivering that number.
Good. You're probably aligned with the sector as well in that respect. And then with the four acquisitions, if you put that on a sort of like a 12-month perspective, what is the sort of the pro forma run rate for now the group, just assuming that those four acquisitions have had a 12-month period of fully bedding in?
Yeah, so you're if you throw those on top and let's assume, you know, normalization of the boiler issue, you're hitting $450 million revenue and about 27.5 EBITDA.
Right, okay.
So, yeah.
Good. And then sort of like, can you just talk through some of the input cost inflation? Because a lot of this, I mean, I know you're more of a sort of a distributor of building materials and building products within that whole industry, but the sort of house builders are quoting input cost inflation of high single digits, sort of like, you know, 7 to 9% per annum. What are you seeing in terms of in input cost inflation?
Yeah, I think there's a bit of a story to it, and I guess kind of from a couple of different segments. I think in our plumbing and heating division, the input price inflation is much lower, and it's much quicker to pass through. But it's well understood and it's well communicated. I think in merchanting, I think inflation, certainly the minute inflation has peaked, maybe for, you know, timber has come off a little bit, but it's replaced by things that are energy intensive to produce. They continue to experience some inflationary pressures, but it's running around about, you know, kind of the low single double digit is where we see it at the minute in merchanting.
Right. Okay. And are you getting any? Yeah. Are there any supply chain challenges elsewhere other than in boilers, or is it all now sort of like easing off slightly?
I mean, I think there's always supply chain challenges. There always has been. You know, the team will say for 20 years they've faced this. It's just become a more visible, more spoken issue in 2020, 2021. But we're dealing with them. We've got really great commercial teams that are embedded relationships with our suppliers. We've got large sites. We have the ability to kind of take and hold stock to cover any availability issues. So yeah, look, it's not a big problem for us.
Okay, and then an area that may. Well, given the cost of living crisis and the need to move to all things of sort of renewable energy, et cetera, an area going forward that may or may not become far more in demand, and certainly is in our household, because we're going to put in a smart meter and go to a smart home. And we're also, you know, we're looking to swap out our boiler because, you know, it's a gas boiler and therefore massively inefficient and stuff like that. Given that we're perhaps not the only people in the world now wanting to reduce our energy footprint, et cetera, can you just talk through how Lords is positioning itself into that sort of like the energy efficiency technology products and also in all things green and renewable to offer those type of products to people like me, really?
Yeah, I mean, we have the demand. You know, that's a great starting point. So,
I'm not surprised.
But then we're multi-channel in our plumbing and heating division. So we supply to independent merchants, we supply to the installer, and ultimately to the end user across our brands and channels. So the demand is there. And then if you look at what we did in terms of improving availability of supply of boilers into the independent merchants over the last 10 years, the suppliers recognize and respect them. And they see APP wholesale as a really strong route to market that can drive that availability and drive the products into the hands of consumers. So I think that sets us up really nicely. And that's certainly been the experience so far in the half year, as you've seen, you know, 64% like for like on the categories that we would class as energy efficiency technology.
64%?
64%, yeah, like for
wow.
Yeah, so a good number. But I think probably where we're heading to is a more balanced portfolio. You know, it's it's where the vast majority of households have historically had a boiler. You know, I think you could see that there starts to become a little bit of fragmentation as people like yourself look at alternatives. Now for us, the alternative, I don't know if you've had your quote yet, but it's good revenue for us. You know, there's quite a lot that goes into that solution. It's the It's the air source heat pump. It might be the underfloor heating. It's the heating controls.
Yeah. And there's also going to be a switch for probably, because given gas has rocketed and probably still stay high for a couple of years, there's actually a switch to sort of like more efficient sort of inverters, you know, sort of like the air conditioning stroke heating type systems that attract lower VAT because they're far more efficient than the old standard gas central heating.
Yeah. I think for all the positivity around, you know, the future of heating the home, fundamentally the UK housing stock is designed for a boiler.
Mm.
And, you know, how a two-bed terrace retrofits an air source heat pump with a water cylinder and underfloor heating. You know, I live in a new build and our water cylinder is, I'm 6'5". I wouldn't be able to put my arms around it. Well, that's taking the spare room of a two-bed terrace house away, isn't it? So it's not a kind of, as I say, I think you'll see kind of partial fragmentation with alternative energy,
And then just moving on to sort of the cash flow, et cetera. I see you generated quite a lot of good sort of free cash flow. You're relatively actually capital light in terms of sort of CapEx, et cetera. What is the company sort of, you're roughly trading at a comfortable sort of your net debt is about 1x EBITDA on an annualized basis, which is pretty much comfortable and relatively sort of in line with the rest of the sector. What's sort of the level of debt leverage or debt levels that the business is happy to sort of like operate under?
Yeah, I mean, I think the numbers you're seeing in the half year will mature upwards slightly. I think consensus is about 1.3x on a pre-IFRS basis. Heading into IPO, we spoke about the fact we were comfortable going up to 2x leverage, providing we could see line of sight to bring it back down again. I think in this environment, you have to make sure that those acquisitions are the right acquisitions in the right markets with the right geography. So I think you know, it'll be on a case by case basis, but we're aware of investor sentiment and you know, won't be doing anything that stretches us.
So really, sort of the second half is continuing to integrate and bed down those particular acquisitions, generating the economies of scale, generating cash, and concentrating on your organic growth strategy more so, unless there's a sort of like a super excellent fit acquisition that is sort of like a must do deal.
Correct. Yeah, and I think the acquisitions get a large part of the oxygen in terms of when people talk about Lords, but we have really strong organic growth opportunities. You know, we look at the like for likes that we're delivering in merchanting in these half year numbers at 14.5%. We have a huge amount of organic opportunity in terms of geography, product range, and digital that we can continue to deliver and arguably exceed our targets through organic alone.
Good. And then in terms of sort of the, resilience of a debt, if there was a really, really severe sort of recession next year, et cetera, what sort of levers would you pull? I mean, you've been through this before. It's a mature business. I know Shanker's been running it for ages. So he's been through the downturn of the 2008, 2009. So he has plenty of experience here. What sort of like actions could be appropriate?
Yeah, I think that's a really important point that the management team have been through these dynamics before and maybe even more positively grown the business through these dynamics. So, you know, you can see forecasts out there in the market. And I think, you know, if any of them became true, the way we would look at it is we always want to outperform the market. You know, so if we're faced into kind of low... into a market decline, then we'd always expect to outperform. And that is through what I just said a minute ago around the organic opportunities. So you look at the geography and then just put our sites on the map and we have so much geography to aim at. And geography equals new customers and more revenue and more profit. We've got brands that are capable of expanding nationwide. We talk about Miss Century Heating, we talk about George Lines. But there are other brands within the group as well that can also grow their footprint. Product range extension, as we've been talking about with energy efficiency technology, you know, we've just been covering that, and it's a great lever for growth. And then that you always have to remain, it's an entrepreneurial business, you always have to remain efficient, you know, and that means that we would hold our service levels, but we remain efficient to our customers. We uphold those service levels where maybe others will look to constrain service, and they're the big levers for us.
Okay, brilliant. Well, thanks very much, Chris. But just before we sort of finish, I'd just like to highlight to investors, actually, that the building product sector and even the house building sector is extremely good value at the moment for sort of like long-term investors like myself. I mean, it trades at sort of like less than 10 times price earnings multiple and about half peg ratio, or 0.5 of a peg ratio, which is traditionally around about sort of like 40% less than the historical averages. And all I would say is that unless the market, or should we say analysts are right, and there's an absolutely severe, really severe recession, which I don't believe, then there's good value for long-term investors. I know Berenberg have a price target of 120, and I would, I still think that's quite modest as well. So significantly higher than the share price. So certainly an area that people can have a good look at for potential opportunities. And Lords, as you say, has been traditional expanding faster than the actual market. So something people should run the slider all over. So thanks very much, Chris, and look forward in hearing how the business progresses.
Brilliant. Thanks, Paul.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.